Welcome to the Profitable Trading Podcast. Tony Fraser-Jones here with my mate, Phil Smith. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, good, mate. Always ready to roll.
Mate, excited about today. Let's get into it. What are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about how, you know, wages are rising, cost of living's going up, good tradies are hard to find, you know, recruiters are circling your team on LinkedIn, you're already feeling that margin pressure, and your team talks at the merchant or wholesaler, and they find out so-and-so's getting like $45, $50 an hour type of thing. And when someone asks for more money, you know, it can feel like, A, they don't appreciate what you already pay them, B, you know, if I say yes to them, everyone's going to want more, or C, if I say no, they're going to leave, right?
I know as a business owner, often you almost feel a bit resentful. It's like, far out, what, I've got to pay them more, I'm already not making money, how's this going to work? And like you said, not only paying them more, I've got to pay everyone more, otherwise they're going to get annoyed and I'll have like 10 people at my door being frustrated. And then you're like, well, nobody's worth that much. Like, nobody's worth 50 bucks an hour or 45 bucks an hour. Like, man, I used to get 20 bucks an hour, and like 5 years ago, it was like 30 bucks an hour. This is insane. Like, nobody's worth that. And well, unfortunately, sometimes they are, and that's where the market's at. So it's a really difficult conversation. There's a lot going on, both financially and kind of mentally and emotionally as a business owner. You can feel a bit underappreciated sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. And I think everyone's got that war story about what they used to get paid, right? My dad, old Sparky Dad, he loves to tell me about how he used to go to the fish and chip shop and pay 50 cents and get all you can eat. I'm like, hey, the future is now, old man. But I think the thing is, like, these are very stressful conversations and they can really weigh on your mind for a bunch of reasons. And so, yeah, what we're digging into today is how to handle these really well and you know, get the best result for everybody, you know, both for your team, the person asking, and your wider team, and also for yourself and your business. You know, this needs to be a win-win. So that's what it does.
And there's a real thing that goes on here is sometimes you can be a bit, you know, a bit, what's the word, stingy or tight or conservative with your pay, and you think that's going to save you money or make you money, but often in the long term, that can actually cost you money as well. When I was thinking about that, I was thinking about Ford in the 60s and the 70s. They made a car called the Pinto.
Oh, the Pinto.
Which I can remember reading about at university. It wasn't a great car, but the reason they did it was the Japanese cars were coming to the US market. They were smaller cars. They were more fuel efficient, and customers just wanted a compact, more affordable vehicle. So Ford needed to make a new car fast, so they developed the Ford Pinto. And this is where it gets interesting. During the crash testing, they figured out that it actually had a serious flaw. It blew up.
Well, that's pretty much not ideal.
Yeah, it was prone to exploding in a fireball because the fuel tank made it was positioned in a way that it was vulnerable to rear end collisions, and so in certain crashes it would rupture and ignite. So the engineers proposed a fix. It was about $11 per car. It wasn't $1,100 or $500. It was like $11. Not much. But the Ford executives, in their wisdom, did the math on millions of vehicles, and you know that meant tens of millions of dollars of extra cost. And they're like, "Well, we'll just do some financial mathematics, and we'll try and save some money." So instead of redesigning it and doing the job right, they were like, "Well, we'll just put up with maybe some lawsuits, and should be right."
Well, maybe some fatalities as well.
Their calculations suggested the cheaper option would be better than dealing with all lawsuits. Well, they didn't fix it. You know, over time, dozens of people died. Hundreds were injured, lots of lawsuits, public outrage, congressional investigations were launched, and their brand took a massive hit. So it was a bad move.
Yeah. Captain Hindsight came in and said, you should have put a fire exit there.
That's right.
Thanks, Captain Hindsight.
So ultimately, the cost, the redesign cost, the loss of brand, that dwarfed the initial savings of being a cheapskate. So they probably should have spent $11. And I guess the lesson here is being stingy or tight or conservative sometimes really doesn't pay in business, and that can often play out with your pay discussions as well.
Yeah. Well, you sort of save a bit of money now, sure, but it costs you a lot of money in the long run, which is not what we want. So, if we don't deal with these kinds of conversations well, obviously we're going to run into some big problems, right?
Yeah, the first one is people can leave. They're like, well, they'll go and, go to greener pastures, which is frustrating, particularly if they're good people. And then your ability to actually service your clients, you can't do that because you don't have the team. Maybe you feel angry and unappreciated if they're kind of like, not happy with where you're going. Profit goes down, you can't get through as much work, service suffers, like your life actually gets harder. You think you're saving money, but you actually make it worse sometimes if you don't do this well.
Well, not only that, but you also can get that knock-on effect, right? Where sure, you lose this guy, but then the word gets out that the reason you lost this guy is because you're stingy with pay, and suddenly it's in everybody's head, you know, like, well, man, what am I getting paid? And is there no room for growth here? And then you can start to lose not just one, but maybe two, three team members. And then you're really under the pump. Or everything you've said so far just compounds, right?
Yeah, the rot sets in. Yeah. That's not good.
No, it's not. Whereas on the other hand, if we handle these conversations well, in a way which is win-win, you know, then we have some huge upsides.
Yeah, well, I guess you retain your good people. You build an even better team because people can see that you do pay well. There's good benefits for working there. Maybe you can attract better people. And you need team to grow. So you need to keep the ones you have, and you need to add people. And so your business can become more profitable. You can get more time to work on the business, to build a lifestyle for yourself. And I think if you do this well, and this is really the key thing today, is you can be reactive or proactive with this. And if you do it well, you start to become very proactive. Because as soon as someone's having a conversation about pay with you that they've brought up, you've already missed the boat to some extent, and that's really important. So you can start linking your pay increases to productivity, performance, new skills gained, brightness of future. All of that stuff is very powerful, puts you on the front foot, which is massive for culture, being the employer of choice, and actually attracting great people in the first instance. So there's a bit to it.
Yeah, 100%. Well, should we start unpacking this, man?
Yeah, I think this is something that you said once. You can't blame people for wanting to get paid more. Like, we all want to get paid more.
Yeah.
And so if our immediate reaction is like, far out, that's a pain and nobody's worth that, that doesn't help.
No, I mean, and the thing is whether they're worth it or not at the time. I say worth it carefully here because, I mean, not saying a person is worth it or not, just to clarify for anyone who's going to nitpick. But I think the reality is we can say, I don't feel like they should be getting paid more, you know, based on where they're at with their skills and everything. But you still can't begrudge them for wanting it and you know, thinking about it and asking about it, because everybody wakes up in the morning and they think, I want my life to be better than it was yesterday. And enough time goes past, and if there hasn't been any change to your situation, you're going to start looking for how you can improve. And unfortunately, what you're getting paid is what's the simplest and most obvious right in front of your face lever to improving your life. And so, of course, people think about it. Of course, they look at it, and of course, they ask. And you can't begrudge them for that fact, even if they haven't yet earned it and might need to make some changes or improvements in order to get there. And so I think the thing is, if your first knee-jerk reaction is anger or resentment to that question, you're going to have a really hard time because you're not understanding where they're coming from.
Yeah, and let's be honest, some employees are dreaming with what they ask for, or people applying for a job, they're dreaming. They're not in the right ballpark, but that's fine. It's
okay.
Dude,
we had a job that we listed just recently, which was it was a very high paid job. It was very, very very, very dialed in skill set. It's not something that's easy to come across, and you know, it had a very high pay stamp on it, and we had people applying where their entire work history was, I was a part time bus driver for 6 months straight out of school. And I'm like, look, man, like, you're dreaming, right? Like, this is not you yet. But, you know, I think the hard part is you can't blame people for trying either, right?
That's exactly right. So people are going to ask, and good on them, more power to them. That's the way things are. I think the key thing, though, Phil, is to really understand the financials of the situation. Mm. You know, it's a mathematics thing, pay. And first of all, it's critical to understand how much a tradesperson actually makes for you, or whatever role it is in the business, estimator, whatever, operations manager, what's their sphere of influence over revenue and profit. But let's take a tradesperson, because that's pretty simple to understand. You know, a good tradesperson is going to generate hundreds of thousands of dollars in revenue. Mm. It might be $300,000, it might be $400,000, depending on the business. It might be more in some businesses, or maybe a bit less. But when you take off the gross margin, they're going to be making, you know, profit off those jobs somewhere between $100,000 and $150,000, maybe a little bit more sometimes.
Yeah, per year.
And that per year, and that's money that you don't have if you don't have that tradesperson. You have to have that person to make that money.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's very easy here to cut your nose off and spite of your face. Maybe someone comes to you, they're paid $40 an hour, and they're like, I want to be paid $43 an hour. You're like, well, that's crazy. How much is that a year? Well, okay, it's $3 an hour times 40 times 52. Well, that's a few $1,000. Oh, I can't afford that. But how much money are they generating you? $150,000. If you've got to pay them an extra $5,000 a year, you're still on the make for $145,000.
Yeah,
100%. And it's critical you understand that. A lot of people don't think through those mathematics.
And that's if you didn't change your margins.
Exactly.
Or didn't keep didn't keep your margins consistent with their new pay rate.
That's exactly right.
In which case, you'd actually lose nothing. But, you know, even if you couldn't, even if you're like, hey, look, there's no way I'm going to be able to charge more for the work that they're doing, even though I'm paying more for it, it's like you said, I mean, we're still in a huge net gain of having the person. So if you lose the person as a result of being stingy for, you know, a few grand, you know, then you actually, you save that few grand and you throw away over $100,000 worth of potential profit.
Exactly. And even in hiring, you know, sometimes we make the suggestion to our members, well, you could use a sign-on bonus as attracting people. Maybe it's a $10,000 sign-on bonus. They're like, well, I can't pay $10,000. Well, that's fine. Maybe you make it payable over a couple of years, five now and five when they've been here 2 years. Well, but you're still making the $120,000 to $150,000.
Well, even at, like, again, just proper mass on this, most tradesmen are going to do between $25,000 to $40,000 worth of revenue per month, depending on the trade and where you're at and blah, 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 blah. Now, the thing is if we take the extreme low of that being $25,000, that's $300,000 of revenue per year. If you've got a GP of 40%, then that's going to be $120,000 of pure profit per year. You're like, I've got to pay the guys that you already have. That was in your cost of goods. This is the $120,000 is pure profit, which is about 10 grand a month. And this is like lowest end of the scale. And so the thing is if you have a sign-on bonus, which is $10,000, for example, seems ridiculous. But if you pay that only at month three, so it's like you got to get through 3 months with me, just so I know you're not signing on, taking the money and buggering off, then the thing is you're $30,000 up in pure profit by the time you give them the 10. So, like, you're still good. And then after that, you never have to give them the 10 again. So then it's just $10,000 every time. So, again, that $120,000 over the first year becomes $110,000, but in year two, it's still $120,000. Do you know what I mean?
This is mess. So it's about the numbers. And I think your comment about the margins and the profitability is key here. Most often you have a challenge with this is when you're not understanding your margins and your margins are not enough. Hmm. You actually aren't making money. And obviously, if you're not making money, it's very hard to think about increasing your costs. I mean, I get that. That's really important. So the problem is people struggle to do this because their business isn't profitable.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And so we need to fix that problem because, well, frankly, your clients are the people who should be paying the wages, not you. And yeah, I think exactly. We often think we're paying the wages. That's not the way it should be. That's not what business is designed to be. It's designed so that the clients pay the wages, the materials, the overheads, and you're left with profit at the end.
Yeah, well, they pay that margin too. And I think that's the key is like, you know, you might think, well, why should the client have to pay for this? You know, cost of living is going up everywhere. Why should they have to pay for, you know, the fact that there's a difficulty on my staff where they need to earn more money? The same reason they've got to pay for that. And like the cost of living is going up because the cost of everything is going up. The cost of everything is going up because the cost of labor and you know, work is going up. And that's the same for you, just like it is for someone else. There's a sandwich across the road. I buy it most days. It's what I like to have for lunch. I remember when I first started working in this building, Tony, you might even remember, oh, this is a while ago, that sandwich cost $6. It's $19 now, which seems crazy.
Wow, it's time to bring lunch from home.
Dude, I love that sandwich though. Like it's worth every dollar. But my point is like that sandwich has, you know, absolutely boomed in how much it costs. And so if you think about it, everything should be that much more expensive. The reason it's more expensive is because people need to be paid more to make that sandwich. You know, the ingredients in that sandwich cost more. Same with your jobs. You know, like in this case, what people have to be paid to do good work has gone up. The cost of materials has gone up. Your price needs to go up as well. This is not a weird thing, and your customers are going to understand this. So the thing is, if it's costing you more now than it used to get good labor, well, then that's what it is, and that's what it costs. It's not something that should be free to the customer.
Yeah.
They pay that.
That's true, and there's two parts to the labor, you know, the pay as well as like this, what it costs from, you know, what inflation does to the cost, what just the market rate is, and that, as you said, goes up. But then there's also the skill component, and we can dig into that a little bit, but sometimes the rates just go up because inflation's gone up, people need to eat and live, and that's just, you know, part of the jam of being involved in this great thing called the human race.
Yeah, that's right.
But here's the thing with all of this that I think is critical. When your team come to you and say, hey, can I talk about my pay? It's not ideal because it's reactive. They're already frustrated or concerned or have a question. The good operators are actually front-footing this stuff. So they have a system and a strategy for being on a proactive way. So they'll have pay bands. Like this is where people sit for this role. They'll have regular performance reviews to talk about where people are going. They'll have 20s, which is like a you know, quick 20
weekly
minute
one-to-one.
Yeah, weekly one-to-one for 20 minutes to talk about, you know, how people progressing. And they'll have a regular salary review process where this gets dealt with on the front foot. Because when you deal with it on the front foot, you build, you know, gratefulness, and people know that you've got them. It builds trust because you know that they know that you're looking out for them. That's very different to when it's reactive. So, you know, if you're reactive, they feel like they're getting what they're owed. If you're proactive, they feel like they're getting, you know, acknowledgement and encouragement. And it's very, very powerful.
Yeah, absolutely.
And makes all the difference. So that's really where we want to sit with this.
Well, if I only got a pay rise because I whinged to you about it, then the hard part is that it feels like, yeah, well, I've deserved it for a while and you've finally capitulated. And so there's not a feeling of like success or like I've earned this, or like, man, I'm so appreciated. It's like a, I've been owed this for a while and they've finally given me what I've been deserving for ages, which is a completely different feeling. If you can proactively go to your team and say, hey, mate, I've noticed, you know, the performance on your jobs has gone right up. I've noticed the way that you show up at work is just like night and day better. I've noticed. Therefore, I'm putting you up on your pay, you know, to this point in the band because I think you deserve it. If that comes from you before it comes from them, they're going to feel really appreciated. They're going to feel like, wow, oh my gosh, you're like, you've noticed this. Like, I'm being noticed. I'm being recognized. And so, like, just the complete night and day perception from your team, if you for front foot it versus if they come to you about it, it's massive and it's so impactful in your business.
It is. And look, as a business, we teach this stuff and sometimes we don't get it right. You know, recently we've looked at an area of our business and realized that actually we were just a little bit behind where we needed to be to reward the people who are doing a great job. So we've actually moved the salary bands to reflect where we think they should be, because, you know, rewarding your best people is absolutely critical. It's actually it's a strategy that's very important. Otherwise, you're going to lose them, which is not good, and they don't feel appreciated.
Yeah,
and I think
right.
When you're digging into this, you want, you know, where do you want the salaries to sit? I reckon they want to sit in the top 25%. They don't have to be the top, but good people deserve great salaries. That's massive. And there's two parts. There's obviously there's the pay, but there's also the conditions and the culture. So if your culture's great, it's a great place to work, have fun. Clear expectations, supportive management. They've got opportunities for advancement, brightness for future. That's all part of the package as well.
Yeah, 100%.
And so you layer that in, because if it's just money, then you know they'll shop you around for the absolute top dollar. But if you've got the whole package, then they're not looking.
Yeah,
that's the key.
Yeah, the satisfaction's there, yeah. And that money means a lot more, right?
It does.
It goes a lot further.
It does.
Yeah. So that's really important, and I think like you got to be in that top 25, like you said. I think if you're lower than that, you might actually still find people and you might even keep people, but what you'll figure out is that you're keeping people that are not that good, because the very best people, they're not going to settle for not the very best wages, you know?
And you won't attract people as well, which is important.
No, you won't. Or the people you attract are the people that probably were already attracted to other jobs, didn't get them, and now you're getting the bottom feeders, you know? You're getting the scraps, so you got to pay good money. And it's like people say, you know, an A player is worth two Bs and a B is worth two, you know, C is worth two Bs. Two C's are one B, two B's are one A. So if you think about that, if you want those A's, like, sure, you might pay a bit more, but also you don't need as many of them, and they don't turn over as fast, and they work much more efficiently. They actually make better margins. So it's worth paying more to get the better people, and you won't get those better people if you don't pay more.
Yeah. And the cool thing about, you know, A-grade tradespeople is they can actually train your apprentices to an A-grade standard, because they're often, you know, really good at that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And so you're actually strengthening your whole bench as well by investing in that person.
Well, there's a psychological thing as well, right? Like if I'm supposed to knock off 4 p.m. and I'm almost at the end of the job that I'm doing, and I figure out I'm gonna have to be here till like 4:15, maybe 4:30 in order to get this done today. Like B players or people that feel underappreciated or underpaid, they're gonna be like, nah, 4 p.m. and I'm dropping the tools.
I'm out of here.
Yeah, and now I've got to go back tomorrow morning, throw the whole schedule out, and even though there was only 15, 20 minutes worth of work to do, if I have to leave and come back, then tomorrow morning it's actually gonna waste an hour because I had to get there again, I had to set up again, I had to get my stuff sorted, I had to pack down. Whereas if I'd just stayed a bit longer, I would have got it done. Thing is, if I'm getting paid top dollar, I'm like, you know what, all good, I'm just going to get this done because I'm appreciative of the way I'm being rewarded. I'm appreciative of the fact that I'm being appreciated. Where if I feel underappreciated, underpaid, I'm like, bugger that, I'm out. And so the thing is this has so many knock-on effects, and you can expect a lot more of people when you pay more as well, which is a really great place to be.
Well, and you actually get some leverage as well, because it's hard for them to find the same thing somewhere else. Exactly. Which is a little bit Machiavellian, but it's true. Like, you know, you want to be near the top because people don't have as many options. Yeah. That means you still got to do a great job, but it does count.
Yeah, it absolutely counts. So let's talk about what to do when they ask.
Yeah, so, okay. Let's say you haven't quite got the proactive thing sorted out yet. You're working on that, which is great. But they come and ask, what do you actually do? Well, the key thing is don't be reactive.
Hmm.
That's really, and don't be defensive. And don't make an immediate decision. You don't have to decide on the spot. Often we feel like we need to. You don't. You can take the heat out of it, take the time out of it, take the pressure out of it, but at the same time help them, you know, feel like they're listened to. So don't react, don't be defensive, and don't act straight away. Be curious. Being curious is the key here. So it's like, hey, okay, thanks, Phil, for bringing this to my attention. Let's just talk about it. Hey, I'm curious, what's prompting this?
Yeah. That's great question. I mean, like, it seems simple, but yeah. You know, you got to ask. And I think the key with this, I just want to clarify, is sometimes I think we say, no, I was being curious, but you might use those same words, but curious is in the tone. It's like, if you get this wrong, curious turns into antagonistic, and you got to be careful of that. Like, you don't want to say, like, hey, thanks for bringing this to my attention. Let's talk about this, all right? I'm curious, dude, what's prompting this? That's antagonistic. That's not curious, you know? Same words, though. It's like, oh, dude, thanks for bringing this to my attention. Let's talk about it, man. Like, I'm curious. Like, what's prompting this? That's a completely different tone, and it means a completely different thing. So I think the thing is with being curious, it's not just the words. It's not just the question. It's the way you ask it. So be very conscious of that.
Yeah, be curious is actually be curious about it.
Yeah, not just say curious words.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And then let them talk and figure out where they're at. You know, maybe it's they've had another job offer. Maybe they've heard someone talking at the merchant who says so-and-so is now getting paid $50 or $55, whatever it is. And then you can find out a little bit more information. Because what you want is information. You want them to feel heard. They can get everything off their chest because there might be some other stuff going on here. They might feel underappreciated, not getting opportunities. You know, maybe they're traveling a lot and that's annoying, or they've just got a new kid and their partner's not working as much. There could be a whole raft of things that you really want to understand about what's driving this.
Yeah.
And so you get the information, then just go do some research, gather the data, you know, look at what's going on in the market, maybe where inflation's at. Do you need to look at that? Have a chat with a recruiter maybe to figure out where the pays are at so that you can actually figure out what you think is going to be a good, you know, a good outcome here. Because sometimes you may need to shift and that's okay.
But also sometimes you do that research and you realize that actually their research was unfounded, you know. Like, so for example, they might have heard some guy down at the merchants getting paid, you know, $55 an hour or something. But then you do the market research and you figure out that that's actually extremely high. Mm. Secondly, is, you know, it might not be true. Thirdly, you find out you're actually the highest paying person in town. And so that information might not be completely correct. Now, that doesn't mean that you completely disregard their chat, but it's important to know whether or not you're sitting in the right place before you go and make a reaction. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, 100%. And the key there is to, if you're not going to give them a pay rise then and there, explain why and say, I'd love to give you a pay rise. Here's what needs to happen over the next 3 to 6 months to get you there. This is what I need to see from you. These are the skill sets you need to develop. And let's make a time to actually see how you're going. This is how you're going to support you through it. You're kind of providing them with the brightness of future, giving them the inspiration and the pathway to get to where they want to go. Because really important part of being a business owner, you know, we're in business for ourselves, obviously, but I think the really successful people are in business to help their employees as well, to help them get ahead. You know, the more people you can serve to get to where they want to go, the better it's going to be for you and for everyone. And so that's part of our role. And that's what the best employers actually do. They're thinking about it from that mindset.
And I think part of this as well is like when we're linking it back to skills, like it's important with that pathway that they're also clear that I don't just need to see these skills once. You know, like I don't want to see you do this thing one time and then now you get more money. That's not how this works. Like the way that you get paid more is to consistently demonstrate a level of, you know, skill, or consistently demonstrate these behaviors that I need to see. And so consistently can be over a period of time. And in fact, it kind of needs to be, because we see this a lot, especially with, and again, I hate to say it, but a lot of Gen Z, you know, people come in and they want something now, right? Like there's such a right now, you know, mentality, and it's no shade on them. Like this is the way that they've been brought up. But the hard part is like, doing something one time doesn't mean that you do that consistently. Doing it consistently is where you earn more money. And I think you need to make that clear to people when you're putting these skill pathways, because if you say, hey, I need you to develop this skill, then their reaction might be, I've done that before. You've seen me do it before. Where what you actually meant is, I need to see you do this consistently all the time without prompting. And so I think being specific with your wording with that skill is very important. Yep. So they understand why they are or aren't being paid that money.
Yep. So 100%, you want to be proactive with this. Reactive is, you know, do it well if you have to, but try and be on the front foot, because that's going to be way better for culture and all of that stuff.
Yeah, 100%. So let's land this plane, man.
Alrighty. So getting your team poached or having them come to ask for more money is stressful for sure. And you often feel like you have very little power in the situation. But you do have power if you take a more proactive approach to managing your team. And if you are in that reactive situation, just stay curious and help understand where they're coming from. Thanks heaps for listening. We'll catch you all again next time.
Sweet. See you later.
Next week on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
Hiring the right people is 70% of success in business, yet most business owners make their hiring process up as they go. They copy other businesses' ads, Google a few interview questions, and they have a quick chat and hope for the best. Now tune into this episode where we outline the one secret to having A players lining up to work with you that almost no businesses understand.
Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Profitable Tradie Podcast.